Welcome. Let's join best-selling author Fred Kuhn as he interviews our next guest expert.
Welcome, everybody. We have a great show today. We're going to talk about millennials. We're going to talk about all of the things that young entrepreneurs do, and I have a very special guest, Sabina Gault. She is the CEO of Connect Agency. It's an award-winning agency, offices in Los Angeles, New York, Austin, Texas, Denver. Here are some key points about Sabina. She started this small company in 2009. It is now a mid-sized PR agency, annual growth rate of 60%, and she's the number one PR agency on the Inc. 5000 fastest growing U.S. company list, get this, for 4 years. So thank you, Sabina, for joining us today on Workplace Strategies.
Thank you so much for having me, Fred.
Let's get right to the heart of the matter. You're a young entrepreneur. So we were talking before the podcast about issues with financing and those things. We might get to some of those stories, but how did you navigate the stereotypes that you were telling me in the story the bankers had about youth and investing in youth and when dealing with employees or clients who are generations older than you? How did you make that connection?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily that hard, but I also wouldn't say that it's easy, right? We all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different places. We all come with different understandings of situations. So sometimes, you know, being a 23-year-old and going and telling somebody that you're going to start a business and that it's going to do well and that you need money to start the business, they're going to look at you and be like, you're crazy. Like, no, get out of here. We have no interest in that, obviously. But I think overall, you know, when you deal with different generations, it's all about finding kind of the common ground and seeing where that person is coming from, understanding what they're thinking and how they're thinking. And I tell this to my team all the time. I said, guys, to believe where the client is coming from means to understand where the client is coming from and their perspective on this issue and their perspective on this problem. So the way they're reacting to what you're saying is just a matter of understanding where they're from and what they're getting at and what they need. And then you can apply that to any situation, right? It doesn't matter whether you're talking to a banker. It doesn't matter whether you're talking to a client. It doesn't matter whether you're trying to get a client. It's understanding that perspective and being able to offer some sort of connection between your perspective and their perspective and finding that common ground.
How do you overcome their prejudicial barriers or concepts about millennials or about the Zs you have working for you?
One of the ways that I did it, so when I started my business, I was very young. And not only was I young, but I was shortly after I started, about 2 years after I started, I was pregnant with my daughter. And being a young female and pregnant, walking into meetings and asking people to invest, you know, $200,000 in my business, basically, by becoming my clients, people would look at me like I have 15 heads because nobody would think that that's a smart decision. So what I would do is I would walk into the room and I would just call it out straight away. I'd be like, hey, I get it. I know what everybody's thinking. I'm pregnant. I'm going to go on mat leave. I can promise you I'm not going to take mat leave. And mat leave with both my kids was 5 days. That's all I did. And it included a weekend. And it included the 2 days in the hospital.
That's tough. That's tough.
But you have to kind of say it out loud. I think that if you allow for that sort of doubt, and yes, we have a young team, and oftentimes I'll walk into meetings where my team is, you know, half the age of everybody else in that meeting. And I will say it. I will say, hey, I know that we look like we don't have the experience. I know that we look like we have a very young team. And we do. However, here's what we've done, and here's what, you know, you sort of like preface it with the elephant in the room, and then you prove that the elephant isn't there. And 90% of the time it works. 10% of the time it doesn't work, and people just won't change who they are and what they believe in. And that's okay.
Well, it's human nature.
You got to try, though.
Yeah, you have to try. That's the key, isn't it? Trying.
Yes.
So your company's made up almost entirely of millennials, and some of which are years younger than you. So how do you create and grow a corporate culture to be even more effective?
There's a lot of preconceived notions, I think, about millennials and what drives millennials and whether hard work and you know, kind of passion can collide for somebody. I think what we do at Connect is we have this ability to really get people into an understanding of what we as an organization stand for, and then see if somebody is willing to buy into what we're standing for. So, for example, our first and foremost thing is results here, and we apply that filter of results through everything. You have to be a successful employee at Connect. You have to deliver results. To have to keep a client long, you have to deliver results. To be growing in your position and growing into the next position, you have to deliver results. So people walking in, they understand right off the bat that this is the kind of place that's the first line of defense. And if they're not willing to do that, then they just shouldn't apply. And we tell people straight off the bat, before they even come into the in-person interviews, that this is kind of who we are. This is what we stand for. And then we share our six values with people from the very, very beginning, which are excellence, flexibility, passion, collaboration, positivity, and integrity. And we kind of explain what each of those stands for. And we say, if this is not something you're willing to do, we totally understand, and we understand if you don't come in for an in-person interview. But that's what you need to know coming into Connect. You need to know that we are driven by results. We're driven by constant results. And then you have to abide and live by these values. You can't come in if you have an ounce of negativity. Like, that's just not who we are. So, and you will get fired on the spot if you are negative, and if you're negative to clients, and if you're negative to team members. So there's no leeway. And then people go, oh, wow, these people are serious about this stuff.
That's the really strong management style. What do you do to facilitate the desire to be positive within your company as opposed to this is expected? Are there things that you do with your teams or the team members do with each other to increase that communication, desire to communicate? I realize that results are bottom line. That's important, of course. But also feeling good about being there. What do you do to engender the feel good?
A lot. We really do believe in the sort of millennial behavior, right? If you're going to go there, right? We believe in, you know, celebrating birthdays and celebrating anniversaries and doing lunches. And, you know, we have a very collaborative, open workspace that's really beautiful. And it makes you happy walking into our offices. All of our offices across the country have pink backdrops and, you know, little kind of fun sayings everywhere and little encouragement words everywhere. We do tons of outings. We do quarterly meetings and hangouts, and everybody gets to go out and play games, do yoga classes, all sorts of fun things that we do. We go out to, we have some fun clients like Sky Zone and Dave & Buster's. So we go to Sky Zone together. We go to Dave & Buster's together. We do all sorts of fun stuff like that. You know, we also spend a lot of time with each other. When we travel, we go out to nice dinners. We go out to lunches. So we really try to foster a very collaborative and community-based feel. We have a big kitchen in our LA office, and we all eat together. There's a kitchen right outside of our Denver office, and everybody eats there. So there's like a lot of opportunities to really foster that positivity. Aside from, you know, the fact that as management, we always send out congratulatory emails when somebody's doing really well. And we do that very often. We say thank you very often. We say you're doing a great job very often. We're really fast to praise people and to really foster that culture of we're here to tell you when you're doing good. And we're not going to wait for your review 6 months later to tell you if you did something great today, you're going to hear today. And the whole company hears it. We have a channel that the whole company subscribes to. So we all kind of share in the good news there. And then we do emails as well.
Let me ask you this, because work at home seems to be a much more important to the Z and to the Y generations.
Right.
How are you dealing with work at home? How are you managing that? Do you do work at home in your advertising business? Is that possible? I don't even know if that's possible.
It is. The way we do it at Connect is we have a scheduled work from home. So everybody is allowed to work from home one day a week, but you get the week depending on the crew that you're in. So the whole company literally nationwide is split into three different crews. So there's the Monday crew, the Wednesday crew, and the Friday crew. In each quarter, you switch crews. So for example, you know, my work from home may be Mondays this entire quarter, but then I move to Wednesdays the following quarter. And that's my work from home, and I'm not changing it. So yes, people get to work from home, but it's a little strategic so that you don't have this, you know, madhouse of everybody takes Fridays off and works from home. And no, suddenly nobody's in the office on Fridays.
Structured
so,
freedom.
To kind of alleviate. Structured, yes, exactly.
I love it. That's great.
Well, I mean, we all do have to run a business at the end of the day, right? So we have to be careful.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, it's nice to be warm, fuzzy, and enjoyable to be with. But if you're being thrown out on the street because you haven't paid your bills, what good is that, right? So there's a balance. There's always a balance as a business owner. And I completely understand that. So public relations is a career choice. A number of young people graduating from college look at public relations and say, "Oh, I want to go into PR." And for those entering the workforce, describe what your agency Connect does to foster young talent, and what are the attributes? These may be two different questions. What do you do to foster young talent? But also, and really important, what three attributes are you looking for when you hire the next generation?
So multiple questions. So the first one, generally speaking, PR today has changed tremendously. If you would have asked me this question 12 years ago, it was basically liaising brands through media relations with editors. And really, that was the bulk of it. Today's PR, and you had plenty of publications, as both you and I know. You had plenty of publications. There was still the concept of newsstands, where you would actually go in the morning and get newspaper.
Yeah. It's a thing of the past now. I mean, it's almost a thing of the past.
It is a thing of the past. It really is. I mean, I ask for the newspaper at every hotel I stay at, and sometimes I have people looking at me like I have 15 heads. And I'm like, "Can I have the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and USA Today tomorrow morning?" And they're like, "I'm sorry, we don't offer that." I'm like, "What do you mean you don't offer that? You're a hotel. You should have the newspapers. Like, what is wrong with you?" but I'm also, you know, sort of like on the borderline generation. I'm not quite a millennial. I'm on that border of about millennialism. So that was 12 years ago. In 12 years, we have, the industry is not the same. You don't have the magazines and the publications that you used to have. You don't have the access to long-term media, as I like to call it, as you used to. You know, television, you would have crews that would have to go and film, then they would come back to the studio, they would edit, and then they would show it probably on that nightly news or tomorrow's news. Now news is instant. It's absolutely instant. You can't hide from it. So anybody with a phone is a news reporter. So the ability to transfer content has changed dramatically. So you have influencers, you have social, you have digital. All of that plays into PR. So you really kind of need to be a little bit more versed than you used to be, you know, 20 years ago. 20 years ago, you still worked on a fax machine and, you know, clipped things via actual pen and paper. And now you don't do that anymore. So PR today is really multifaceted, which is great because you can get multiple people involved. We have people at Connect that do dual and triple roles. They do social, they do influencer, and then they'll do traditional media. We have people that do content, that do traditional media, and that do actual visual content, right? So they'll do the written content like white papers and bylines and things like that. And then they'll do the visual content where they'll do photography and videography and all of that. And then they'll do traditional media on top of it. So it's great because you have a lot of cool different areas to be part of. You know, I think the one challenge with PR to this day is it's, you know, I think everybody lived in through the Sex and the City, and millennials grew up watching Sex and the City. And, you know, you see Samantha being this fabulous publicist, just prancing around from hotel opening to restaurant opening, from party to party, drinking Cosmos. And that is as far from the reality as possible. Even when you do work in hospitality, is as far from reality as possible. It's a lot of work, and it's really long hours, and it's really not a lot of personal life, no matter which area of PR you're in. And you're dealing with a lot of crises at all times, even when you're not a crisis firm.
How would you summarize what you've just said now to looking at attributes?
I think you're looking for people that are really understanding of what it takes to be successful in the business. A little bit of grit, I think, is necessary. A little bit of a tougher sort of thicker skin is little bit needed, because you do deal with multiple personalities, and the ability to kind of handle that is important. I think finesse is an important attribute. I think you can develop finesse, but if you already have it, it's a really nice thing to have, when you can kind of nicely put things in a very politically correct and appropriate way to somebody. And then kind of really not letting yourself get down, and that positivity as a quality of a human, I think, is really important in PR, because you do deal with a lot, and you can get pretty down on yourself.
So everybody in the audience who's listening, you're hearing it right from the source of a very successful entrepreneur, millennial, who's in the 5,000 fastest growing companies in America. Her name is Sabina Gault. And Sabina, I want to thank you very much for joining our workplace strategies today.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for visiting with us. We welcome your comments and suggestions, and look forward to having you join us soon at Workplace Strategies.